Blog Talk Radio.
Min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel. Ani ivriya mi Israel. Ohevet et shevet straightway ve achyotai.
Trinidad. I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de straightway. Y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Mue señor Ebul. Mue fet Haiti. Mue reme straightway tribue esemio.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia. And I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Praise Yah, hallelujah, blessings, shalom, blessings, blessings, beloved family. Checking out the chat room. Don't know if you're having problems where you are, but one of the computers in the sound room is, as well as Georgia, who sent a shout out tonight. Mother Jennifer will not be with me. She sends her love and bless yous, and she's listening, but her chat is not working yet. So hopefully you guys can refresh or get it as we proceed tonight. Just letting you know, and speaking of it, in case it is common, thank you for joining in tonight. I'm your host, Sister Ashley, here in Tennessee. Only 26 days until Passover. That means 22 or so until the land opens up. Going to see you guys soon, those who made it, those who endured. I pray you come ready, hallelujah, humble, to serve and to love. Tonight, I'm with Sister Esther as a part two of the Levirate Law. I hope you enjoyed last week. Last week, I interviewed Rachel Regis. She is the redeemed wife and beloved Isha woman of Steve Regis. And tonight, we speak to his first Isha. And some of you might have seen their wedding online. It's one of my favorite praise songs. We are Hebrews from New York with Elder Rufus and the whole crowd at Sister Esther and Brother Steve Regis' wedding. It was beautiful. But let's bring you up, Sister Esther. Thank you so much for joining in tonight. Be yourself. Give a shout out. Give some acknowledgement or just introduce yourself. Go ahead.
Shalom, Sister Ashley. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Make sure you speak up, okay? I can hear you. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll try my best to speak up louder. Testing 1, 2. Can you hear me now?
You got it. Tell everybody where your accent's from so they know what we're getting into tonight. It's one of my favorites, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I have a Haitian accent. It's funny because before the show I told you, hey, I need to go find all my English words because you said I'm going to speak. And you said a funny, you were like, I'm going to go find all my Haitian words. I'm like, I guess we're in the same boat together. So I hope and pray that you're able to hear me and understand what I'm saying clearly with the Father giving me the utterance today to speak because I do know that I do have an accent. So bear with me.
It's beautiful. I bless his holy name for gathering you. Hey, as long as you don't talk too fast, I think everyone can understand. There's only a few of us that can understand you when you're fast, Sister Esther. Welcome to tonight's show. Hallelujah.
That is
hey,
true.
Glory. Go ahead and tell everybody
yes,
where you're at.
Okay, so where I am right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I live in Tennessee, Clarksville, Tennessee. I am in my closet right now, so yeah.
Hallelujah. And you're from?
I am originally from Haiti. Born and raised in Haiti, came to America when I was 11. 11
awesome.
Years old. You are echo.
Oh, you got an echo? We're fixing things on our end, too. I had some sounds that we adjusted, or I adjusted before the show, and now Sakina is dealing with as Blog Talk's in, if you're having trouble with your chat, it's Blog Talks and it's too universal. I guess it's happening to too many people. So, hallelujah. So tonight we're talking to a sister who has an experience that we have never had. So that kind of puts us just in a considerate, compassionful, sitting on the edge of our seat, listening to life. I just like last week, I would like to hear you talk and hear you talk more. And since you're not beside of me, I don't know how it's going to go. When I'm needed to talk, I'll be here. I'll ask some questions, but I really just want you to share. You can share from your experience because you are the one living this life and use me when you need me, honestly. Stop as many times as you need to. I got a clip tonight to play specifically from Esther's heart, and I also have a song that has, touched you and a song that you love that I'll play later as well. So let's kick it off. Esther, I met you over Polo, I think, literally, a Marco Polo group. It's an app on your phone where you can connect face-to-face. I think that's how I met you. I saw you and your group come. Your group has changed and evolved over the years. Some have come and gone. Some have moved maybe back home. You've been through some personal experiences as a community now, leaving New York and coming all the way to Clarksville, Tennessee. And if you guys joined us last week, then you know that from the year 2017, Brother Dominic Regis and Rachel had experienced a lot, from his passing to her now joining Esther and Steve. I should say joining Steve Regis, but being such a friend to Esther before. So I'll let you tell the story. Let's talk about you, and let's talk about you and Rachel and when Dominic was around, before Dominic joined the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's talk about that. Esther, go ahead.
Okay, so talk about me. Okay, so, well, I, first and foremost, I want to say thank you, Sister Ashley, for allowing me to speak. And I want to thank the Most High as well for granting me the opportunity to be alive today and to just be an overcomer. Also, I want to say, thank you to Mother Carol, who's been not only a counselor to me, but a mother to me as well, and helping me throughout this journey. Since before Brother Stephen and I got married, I remember Pastor and Mother counseling with us. They have been so instrumental in my life. So I want to take the time to thank them. And also, thank Brother Steve also for just choosing to love Yah. And because of his love for Yah, I'm here to speak on his behalf of his family. So I'm just thankful to be a part, to be here. So I wanted to start with that first, Sister Ashley, and give my shout out to my family who's listening, Sister Rachel, the children, and Sister Kayla, and my family offlines and Clarksville. Everyone else is listening. Just wanted to say thank you, and just thank you for allowing me to be a part of your home today.
Praise Yah. All right, take me to Dominic and your relationship with him.
Okay, great. I'm happy you started that way because I was meditating with Brother Dominic this morning, and I was like, man, I remember when Dodo, because we call him Dodo, so I may refer to him as Dodo, so you could understand where I'm coming from. Brother Steve and I, we were together, I think, 2009. And Brother Dominic used to come to our home after service. We used to go to church together. He would come to our home, my parents' home, I should say, and play and eat dinner, play music. And I remember my mother used to say, I love Dodo. I was like, why? He's like, he's so happy. He's always so happy. And my dad will say, I'll almost be cruel. Like he always say, he's always so happy. Means he's always happy. And I said, yeah, I really like that about him. And he's always cracking jokes on everybody. So remember when Dominic was, like what his sister Rachel said last week, he was always the life of the party. Like Dodo will crack jokes on his sisters, on his brother. And you'll be a fool if you take it personal, because the next minute he's actually like loving you and everything else. So knowing Dominic, he was like a little brother to me. And Brother Steve and him, they had a good relationship in the beginning. So like when I joined the family, when I was dating Brother Steve in the world, I would go to Brother Steve's home, his parents' home, and Dodo would always be there to sit with me and talk to me. And I could remember a specific day when there was a wedding we had to go to. It was a wedding that Brother Steve and I were invited to go. But Dodo was also going to the wedding, but Brother Steve had to work that evening, and he said, oh, babe, I can't take you. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be by myself. And he asked Dodo to take me. So Dodo was my date for the wedding. I remember that we went in they had like a photo booth, and we went in the photo booth just take pictures. We were just being silly. And I remember looking at those pictures. I'm like, man, like Dodo and I had so much fun. So just to go back to my dynamic with Dominic in the beginning, he was just such a lively person. And I could really testify to what Sister Rachel was saying last week, that he was just the life of the party. So that's pretty much my relationship with Brother Dominic, just really in the beginning, before him and Sister Rachel were in covenant.
Hallelujah. So now I'm going to read this verse that I read last week to Sister Rachel that says, if brethren dwell mm-hmm. together and one of them die and have no son, the wife of the dead shall not be married unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn that she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother that is dead, that his name shall not be blotted out in Israel. That's Deuteronomy 25:5-6. So when I read that to Sister Rachel, I know she comes from a certain perspective because she's the redeemed wife, but you're the first beloved, Ishai. And so did you ever see this coming?
Interestingly enough, Sister Ashley, yes. I remember the first debate Pastor had about polygyny with Pastor with Robert, and I remember we were in our home in New York, and our apartment in New York, I should say. And I remember there was like a prick in my stomach. I was like, "What is that?" Brother Stephen and I had this guy married. It was like probably like a few months later, and I remember calling Mother Carol that that week. And I told her mother, like, "Hey, like, I'm listening to this. I'm all for it, but there's something Pastor said that really pricked me." And she was just like, "Okay, well, daughter, like, this is not gonna happen now. You're okay. You just got married. And she was trying to comfort me, but also she also told me, like, "Okay, you need to really check to see what is this thing that you're experiencing." And I remember that experience really verbatim, because I went to the Bible and I started reading. I remember reading Deuteronomy 25, and I was reading that, and I was like, "If brothers dwell together, die," and things like that, you know, like, well, this has nothing to do with me. Whether Dominic is alive, Sister Rachel is here, like, they're not even married yet. And I remember that moment, the Father was like, "The things you fear the most will come upon you." And I was like, "Okay, I need to get this right." And my journey of really accepting Yah's way, and this started in 2016, mind you, I just got married, but it was just one of those things where, like, the Father was like, "I need you to deal with that, because when it comes, you have to be ready. You have to be ready for it." And that doesn't mean that, it didn't mean that I was going to get it all together, but he was preparing my heart to know that this right here will be something that's going to test your love for me. So this passage, I read it so many times, I could quote it with you, Sister Ashley, for real. Like, I quoted because I read it so much, it's like, okay, like, what does this mean? And the part that really stood out to me was that, like, if this brother does not fulfill this law, like, he will just be like a nobody in Israel. Like, he will just be, I don't know, like, the man whose shoes was left loose. And I'm like, wait, if this happens, Brother Steve will be that person in Israel? Like, this cannot be. So in that, I definitely read that and say, "Father, like, I want to be part of this journey if it is your will. And if it is your will, please amend my heart." Because it's all of these things. It's one thing to say that, like, "Oh, like, yeah, Brother Steve is going to marry Sister Rachel, and they're going to have children." It's such a beautiful thing to say when you're not in it. When you're experiencing it, it looks like a mountain. Like, "Oh, my God, this is about to be my life." So, for real, like, I definitely took the time to really work on myself when listening to that, and said, "You know what, Father, if this comes to my door, how would you want me to react? How would you want me to be? And truly, what is the goal for, what is the plan you have for me in this law?" And truly, when I started looking into these things, Sister Ashley, it really opened me up to, like, okay, Brother Steve has a role to play in this. I have a role to play in this too, so much as Sister Rachel has a role to play in this. And the way that I play my role in that, I'm going to be judged by that. And that really was a fearful thing for me, like, how I work on that. So I wanted to stop right there. I hope I'm answering the question, but truly it's going about, because I've read this passage so many times, so it could be one with me to know that this is Yah's way, and this is his way for him too. That's how much he loves us as women, that he will provide a law way before we didn't even think this will happen in our lives, that he had a plan forward for the women that are widows. So, yes.
Got a text already that says, "I love her transparency," and I agree. I think it's honorable that you were able to reflect on the verse and really want it to, you know, really want to become one, as you said. And I really admire you saying this is a mountain, or it was a mountain, you know, for you to acknowledge that too, that you knew you had something to attain, that it wasn't easy, I'm sure, for any party. And so I just want to acknowledge that. And I wanted to... bring everybody up to a memory that I briefly touched on last week, which was Sister Rachel came to Deacon Bell's home when we lived up on top of the mountain, and Deacon Bell would bring water. Our pump went out, and that means we didn't have running water into our home from our well, and Dominic had made the journey, and that was when he was sore. He was hurting. You know, he was eating a specific diet. You guys as a family who labored with him and cared for him, and Rachel, mm-hmm. even the more, you guys understand that and remember it probably by detail. But when you hear it from mm-hmm. me and I come behind and I high-five you and I say, yeah, really, Rachel was caring for him. It was a feast, and she didn't come out. And even Sakina's going, uh-huh, in the background. She remembers. And so, you know, there was no run and water. You know, he had the pain of the journey, even getting here in his bones and body. And if you remember from last week, he had gotten cancer. And she brought his diet. She cooked for him. She cleaned for him. And they never came out to my remembrance. And he even smiled as he was, you know, he had dropped weight and he still smiled. And just making the journey, just keeping the faith and to the very end to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Most High Yah would touch and heal him required everyone's faith that was involved. And I think everyone learned so much. And I don't know what kind of impact it had physically, mentally when Yah took him. But I know that everyone kept the faith to the very end. And so just for Yah to restore his law, and his Levirate law, and to say, okay, Deuteronomy 25, 5 and 6 is going to become one with all of these, Steve's house, Esther, and Rachel. It's just really special. So it's a unique circumstance. Jumping back to you, what comes to mind?
Thank you for that. When Brother Dominic got sick, I remember Brother Steve called me. I lived in South Korea then, and I was like, I couldn't understand it. I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, Brother Dominic is full of life. Why would Jesus do that? And, you know, that's always the first question people ask, like, when someone gets sick, you're like, okay, Yahweh, what did they do? Like, yada, yada, all these other questions that really, because you don't know. But for me, when we came to the faith and I testified the same that Sister Rachel said last week, that, like, I really wanted him to be healed. And I remember, Pastor, like, we will go, I think it was a Passover service. Pastor had a preaching, and he had a workshop about healing. And he said, if you have any sickness, any infirmity, anything, touch that place, or, you know, so you could really command healing. And I remember thinking about myself, I was sitting there, and I was like, I couldn't think of anything that was wrong with me. And the only person that dropped my spirit was Brother Dominic. I was like, Dota's not well, like, he's the one. And I remember crying out, like, Father, like, heal my brother. If it is your will, like, let him be healed, like, restore his body, restore his health. I remember, like, crying out to the Father. Every time there was, like, a healing workshop, I was like, I'm not sick, like, I'm going to pray for him. And truly, Brother Dominic's sickness was really a test for the fellowship. It was really to show, like, how much would we doubt, or would we allow unbelief to come in, or would we allow faith to just, you know, like, Yahweh to prove himself to us. And I say that because there was a time that Brother Dominic was really sick. He was in the hospital, and I remember he had his bowel movement was very I can't explain the word, like, backed up, I think. And then we had to pray because his colon was his intestine was getting really big, and we couldn't, the doctors didn't know what was going to happen. I remember Brother Steve came and he said, we have to pray. And I remember that we were fasting, we were praying, we were interceding to Father. Like, we were like, and I tell you, there was a moment where we were really touching. There was that moment. We were like going in. And I remember that Shabbat, like, the doctors came, Rachel sent a picture saying, like, he pooped. Oh, we've never felt so happy that Brother Dominic pooped. Like, we were like, oh, my God, thank you for answering our prayers. And he really drew us closer together because his sickness impacted the whole fellowship. And we wanted him to be healed so much that we were like, we're just going to allow the Father to prove himself to us. And he really did. The Father, I truly think Brother Dominic, even in his sickness, drew us closer to the Father. It's really funny how this happened, right? But he really drew us closer to the Father because we desired him to be healed so much that we would, you know, pray and fast whenever there was an opportunity to do so. Brother Steve was very instrumental in that. He was like, look, we're going to pray, and we're going to trust that Yah is going to do what he's going to do. And I truly believe that. I believe that the Father did what he was going to do, like, and him designing the plan for the Levite to come forth. Like, I remember a very selfish thought of mine, like, okay, like, well, if they don't have children, this is going to come to my door. Like, really, it was a thought about me in the midst of all of this. And I'm like, Pastor, really? Like, you're sitting here thinking about you when this brother, for real. And I had to really step back and say, no, Father, I'm not going to even allow any negative thoughts to doubt the fact that this brother needs your healing, and my unbelief is not going to hinder his healing. So I could definitely testify that the sickness of Brother Dominic really impacted us, but also draw us closer to Yahweh, because we really had to test him to see how much faith would we have in his plan that he had for Brother Dominic.
Okay, so now you have your husband, and you are now going to watch him cover another woman for the first time. So he's now going to be the husband's brother that will go in and unto her, take her to him to be a wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. That's about to come to your door now, because Dominic was laid to rest, and now it's your lot. It's your life. Walk me through it. What happened? How'd you feel?
Oh, how did I feel? My, yeah, I can't even express. There's no words to express, even if I wanted to. But one thing I could say is that it was like, wait, what? Like, you know, because the carnal mind does not think that Yahweh's way is great. Like, really, it's funny that I wrote something, and let's see if I could read it. It says, the society has a way of diminishing Yah's way to make it common. Like, it's like the common denominator, like, oh. And when what Steve, in an aspect like what Brother Steve did, like, you're really diminishing it. Like, oh, like, all he did was, take Sister Rachel and see. But it's like, no. He didn't just do that. What he did was he took another responsibility. He made sure that this law is fulfilled in this lifetime. And in that, I was like, okay, this is about to come to my door, so how am I going to react? And surely I did not want this to be a life thing. You know, like, it's like, okay, like, Brother Steve is taking another Ishaya, like, this is it. But this was bigger than myself, bigger than Brother Steve, bigger than Sister Rachel. This was about Brother Dominic. And I remember saying, man, Father, I love Dodo. I really do. And if I really love Dodo, why would I not want Dodo to have seed? Like, this is very selfish of me, Esther, really. And I appreciate how Yahweh does things, because Brother Steve and I, together, we have two daughters. We don't have any sons together. And I appreciate that he did it this way, because the way that Yahweh does things is so marvelous, because then now it made me appreciate the fact that, like, okay, now that this seed that's come forth has so much more of a, say, like, I don't know what that comes to my mind is value. Like, okay, this seed is a really true representation of Brother Steve really sacrificing his life, because he doesn't have any sons of his own. Like, his name has not been, he doesn't have a seed for his heir for his legacy, but he's doing this for his brother. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This has to be Yah. Like, you will orchestrate things this way so that he could really test Brother Steve and his family how much more that he loves Yah. So I wanted to go back to saying, like, walking this up. So Brother Dominic is not here, and now Sister Richard and I are together in the home. We constantly will have conversation about these things. You know, it's one thing to have conversation about the thing, and then before it comes to your door, and when it comes, and you're like, wait, I thought you had all these things. Now, what happened to them? I was one of those people. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be like this. Yes, this is going to be so great. We're going to have so much fun. And then, you know, speaking very prematurely, not knowing that the devil is like, oh, really? That's how you think it's going to be? I'm going to put that to the test. Okay, watch. Oh, it sure did. I remember me and I was in purification when Brother Steve and Sister Rachel got married, and I was like, Father, you allow me to be purified, all right? Like, this is purification to the 10th power. Like, I'm in purification, and I had a daughter, so I was there for 80 days. After the 50th day, like, the wall started speaking to me. Everything started to have different languages. I was like, wait, this is the time for me to, like, really horn in to what the Father wants me. And I really appreciate it happened that way, because I think if it was happening when I was not in purification, my flesh would have manifested different things. I would have been saying, spewing things out, and, like, it would not be right for the environment. So I'm actually happy that it happened that way, because it gives me time to really, I appreciate what Sister Ashley said to me. And I remember calling Ashley, and I told her, you, Sister Ashley, I call you and say, hey, like, what do I do in the purification phase? And you said, allow Yah to prove himself to you. And I really took this to heart. And I was like, you know what, Esther, like, if there was a time you really desired to get closer to the Father, it's that time. What are you going to do? What are you going to do in this situation? And I'm not going to say that everything was peachy and cream, because it wasn't. Like, it wasn't like, oh, my God, Sister Rachel, you're in the family. Oh, my God, I love it. But it's Steve. Yeah, I love it. No, I love the fact that this law was coming to force, but the actual living in the family was challenging. But even so, that time being in purification helped so much. Because there was so much separation, because I needed to get me together first so I could, you know, be out. And one other thing that I do know is that Brother Steve and his family, Mother always tell me, you're kind of like the glue, Esther, because you knew Rachel before Brother Steve. Like, you knew Rachel more because Rachel's your friend before Brother Steve knew her. You knew Brother Steve longer than Sister Rachel. So you're, like, right in the middle. And I'm like, wait, I am. So I can't be the person that's a hypocrite, like, and I'm this way with Sister Rachel and I'm that way with Brother Steve, and not allowing, you know, their relationship to blossom because of my own self. So I really appreciate that separation and the time that they had together themselves while I was in purification to get to know each other with me not in the present, because I think it gives me time to get my ish together. Because you know how it is, like, when you're going through something, I know for me, like, I truly don't need anybody to baby me, to, like, you know, cuddle me. Allow me to go through these things so I could actually see, okay, this is where I fall short. Okay, Father, I need help in this area right there. And I know he always comes forth. So, and he did that during that season for me, during purification, so that I could really come out and be a help in the family. So I wanted to say that, to say, like, during when it first started happening, it was not a walk in the park at all. But Yah allowed me to have that time separate to really deal with myself during purification was really a gift, and I appreciate that season.
Wow, so much I could ask, really, and I appreciate you, I guess, just kind of disclosing how the battles have evolved. Take me from... Rachel was a friend because she was Dominic's woman, wife, and then Rachel became Steve's. And so you had to shift, change, go through things, think different, fight different. I don't know, talk about building that relationship.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so Sister Rachel and I, like she said last week, we, before her and Brother Dominic was, were married, her and I were, we came to the faith together. And out of all the sisters there, she was the only sister that I was gravitated to. And I think it was not, I think, I know it's because there's two things her and I have in common, is that we love Yah. And I know that because she would get deliverance, she would seek the Father. I remember the time she was seeking for the Holy Spirit. This girl was tearing, like, oh, like, she needed to. She was so thirsty for the Holy Spirit. I was like, okay, this, I could rock with her. Like, she's a boy, yeah. And I remember Rachel and I just growing together. Like, when she got married, when I got married, she was there. She did my hair. She did my back. We were, like, the sisters. And I think that's what makes it more, like, interesting when she joined the family, because her now is my friend. Like, we were friends before. And when she joined the family, one of the things that I struggled with was, like, I'm going to lose my friend because now she's going to be Brother Steve the Giant, and we can't really gel and talk because things are shifting. I created how I wanted Richard to be in my mind. Like, I would have had to just my friend, and I didn't want to share my friend with my husband. It was just the reality for me. Like, this is my friend. Why is my friend going to, no, like, I can't, like, this doesn't make sense to me. And I think because my mind has not been transformed in that area, I'm getting placid. I was like, I want my friend to be my friend and my husband to be my husband. I don't want to intermingle them together. So when she came being part of the family while I was in purification, you know, Rachel, her and I are very different. Like, I think she spoke about that last week. Like, Rachel and I, we have different upbringing. I think of her as a little sister because she's the same age as my little sister. I don't know if you know her sister, Regine. So her and I'm like, well, like she reminds me of someone that I know. So Rachel's personality, she's like one of those sisters who just wants to have a big sister. And me, I just want to have a friend. So I never wanted to be a big sister because I told her that I've spoken to you, her and you, Sister Ashley, that being an example has been the topic of my life since I've been, I don't know, like all my life. My mother always tell me, you the oldest. You got to be an example. You the oldest. I'm like, okay, I just got here too. Like, my sister was the youngest. You have to be an example to your sister. So with Sister Rachel, it was the same thing. I remember Brother C was like, you're the wife of my youth. You have to be an example and this and that and the third. And I'm like, wait, I just got here too. Like, I have to be a sister to her and I have to be an example to her. I just want my friend. I just want to have a friend where I don't have to be anything big. I don't want to be any example. I just want to be a friend to her and her my friend. And that really changed our relationship because when she joined the family, she was not just not my friend anymore. She was my sister wife. And Brother Steve, because of how the law came about, it's not like Sister Rachel had an interest on Brother Steve. And, you know, she was like, she was watching him. And so there was a lot of learning that she needed to learn about Brother Steve. And these learning majority had to come from me. And truly, I didn't want to. I didn't want to teach my sister these things because I was like, wait, what do I have to teach her all these things? Like, she should already know these things. I can just talk to my friend. I don't talk to my friend about how to be with her husband. And I wanted to separate the two because I didn't want the two to combine together. And I'm happy y'all made it that way, that Esther, you have to actually accept the fact that your friend is your sister wife, and that is A-okay because that's actually better. Why not have a friend who's your sister wife? Because truly, they know you more. They understand you better. And truly, because I have an accent and I speak fast, and Rachel's the only person that actually understands me. She could translate. She's my translator. She'd be like, yeah, that's what she meant, sisters. And I'm like, thank you, my sis. You understand me. Like her and Brother Steve, like if Brother Steve is around and I'm speaking, they're like, yeah, that's what she meant. Like she meant that. And I'm like, wait, these are my friends. Well, Rachel's my friend. She understands me so much that she could understand my verbiage, my language. And I wanted to separate them two together because of my own mind, you know, like my own philosophy that I had, like the way I want things to be. And it when she joined the family, I made that difficult for her because I was just like, no, it was a resistance within me. I didn't want to separate the two. And I think what it does is, because Rachel and I are very different, it sets about, like, man, does she love me anymore? Like, it sets about rejection. And I know that I play a role in that, and I have to repent for that because I'm like, man, Father, my own, because of the things that I don't want to deal with, because I don't want to be an example, I don't want to do these things, I am actually projecting, I'm being a something back for my sister. And that is wicked. And I wouldn't want anybody to do that to me. And here I am doing the same thing that I don't want somebody to do to me. That's the epitome of hypocrisy, and I dare not to be a hypocrite. So I was like, you know what? I confess a lot of things, but majority of them was those things too. Like, Esther, stop making it hard for Sister Rachel because she does not deserve that. You make it hard for her because you don't want to be a certain in the position because you have not accepted the way that Yahweh created you in the position. You making it hard for her, and it need not to be so. Hope I make sense.
You do make sense. I enjoy every word. I don't want to get far off of your note by asking you any of my questions. So if there's something you want to look down and cover too, please do that anytime. And if you want to play the clip now, I'm willing to do that. So what you got?
I could talk about deliverance. I think that's a good angle, and then after that we could play the video if that's okay, Sister Ashley.
Sure. Deliverance, go ahead.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, making your heart for Sister Rachel and just being part of the family. And one of the things that I appreciate this this law did, it really shows me who I am not. Because, you know, like, I have a perception of me, like, I think I'm this strong person. I mean, I may be strong in certain areas, but I'm not this strong person who's unbreakable. Truly, I think I am very soft inside, but outside I have this demeanor that's like very like hard. And I'm like, Esther, why do you make it hard for everybody? Like, you don't need to be like that. And I remember, listening to Pastor saying that, listen, women have all these ways that they are, and it's because they actually want another aspect of them to be presented, but they present themselves to be one way. And I said, man, that's me. Like, really, why do I do these things? And I remember going and listening to a lot of Pastor's videos to really search my heart to see what is the thing that I am dealing with. And one of them, for deliverance I have to get for, is unforgiveness, accusation, offense, hate, pride, self-pity. And there was a lot of unforgiveness towards Brother Steve. There's an echo, Sister Ashley. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes, ma'am. It's not on my end.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'll put the phone closer to my mouth. There was a lot of unforgiveness towards Brother Steve, and I said that because with him, it wasn't so much with Sister Rachel, because Brother Steve and I, we were close, very close. So we've been together for 13 years. So, like, when we could speak without speaking. And one of the things that I realized when he took Sister Rachel, I held a lot of accusation towards him, like, okay, he did these things to me. It was because of him. And it's like, wait, Esther, the brother didn't do anything. He's just walking this law out as you, and you are making this about you. And a lot of unforgiveness towards him because, like, you took my friend. Now I can't have my friend anymore. Now I have to be this way. I have to be an example. Like, there was all these unforgiveness towards him because I thought because of him taking her in really changed our dynamic, changed the dynamic of the family, and rightfully so. It did change the dynamic of the family, as it should, because now he's not just my friend. She belongs to him. And I did not want, it was a lot of control. Like, I wanted her to be my friend, and that's it. She cannot be your friend. She cannot be with you. You cannot have jokes with her. You cannot have inside her with her. And it's like, wait, Esther, so much control. So I remember going for deliverance for these things. And really, when I speak them in the atmosphere, I'm like, Esther, this is your problem? This is so petty. Like, you got to get it together. And this is me talking to myself, like, Esther, you got to change your mind. I remember going to Mother Carol and asking her for help. She said, daughter, a lot of these things, you got to change your mind. And I appreciate her saying that because half of the deliverance that I sat in the chair for was just for me to really take a look at myself in the mirror and said, Esther, I dare not to be like that anymore. I'm going to change. So there's a lot of accusation towards Brother Steve, a lot of accusation towards Sister Rachel, that they, you know, they did tag team together to make my life miserable. So it was all about self-exalted in all aspects of my life during this season. And I realized that I realized it with pride. But Pastor spoke about that 2 weeks ago, and it clicked so much. I was like, man, this was me. Like, you know, the low self-esteem pride where Pastor spoke about, you know, it's just me. Like, truly, I was one of those people that's like, I'm not going to say anything, but truly I have a lot to say. You know, like, I'm experiencing a lot of things in my heart, but I'm not saying these things because I don't want to hurt anybody or because I think these things will have an impact. And truly, me not speaking about them, it could look like I'm being strong, but it's really a prideful way of just, like, what's the word? Can't find the word. But, like, it's really a prideful way to just kind of, like, put it in the back burner and not to deal with it. And I had to repent for that, like, repent for that and really getting deliverance from these things, like, because changing my mind had a lot to do with me yielding to Yah's way. And I had to read my testimony several times during my deliverance to keep me sober. And one of the things I always tell you, I always tell the sisters here that my testimony is that I will not let anything separate me from the love of Yah. Nothing, not even myself. And I will say that every morning, Esther, you will not let this Levite law to separate you from the love of Yah. No, you will not do that because you voted with your feet. You are in this to get. You are in this to the end. You want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And for you to hear that, Esther, you got to go with the plan. And that plan that Yahweh has for you, it is to prosper you, to make you better, is to make you, is to give you a crown. Then you got to get with the program. I will talk to myself this way because truly, if I did it, I'll go to the end like, well, you know, like the pity, self-pity, the self-pity. And those spirits really are loud in my, was really loud in my mind. Like I had to really get deliverance from hate. Like, how can I proclaim that I love Yah and I can stay my sister? Like, really, Esther? Like, you're a murderer. And I'm like, wait, shit, I'm a murderer? Like, when I read the word and it becomes one with me, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not gonna allow Levite law to take me away from this way because I've wanted this so much, like to be a part of Yah's people, to find Yah's people, for me to just like not be fit to look back because I want to, because I'm offended. I said no. So definitely these things were. These spirits, we're all real, and they are really real. And as a woman, I find myself being offended by Brother Steve for him just being who he is. And it's like, you're offended by Brother Steve because of who he is. And he would tell, Brother Steve and I, he knows me so much, and he doesn't have to say anything. I already know that he knows what I'm thinking because he'd be like, they'd be swimming in my brain. I'm like, yeah, I'm swimming there too. And I think funny thing is that the good thing about it, when someone knows you like that, they know exactly what to say to you to help you. And he's been such a good help. He'd be like, babe, you got to get this together. And I'm like, you're right, I do. He's like, you need to allow yourself to be vulnerable. You need to allow yourself to be to accept this way. And for me, it's like, man, if Brother Steve is going through this, he's going through his own journey in this, I dare not to make this about myself. And I find myself making this a lot about myself in the beginning, like, they don't understand me, I have this going on, like, oh my gosh, my sister, my brother, like, everything was just about me. And it took the essence away from the whole aspect of Brother Dominique's seed is right here, you know? And I said, man, Father, I want you to allow me to quiet my spirit so that I could really find peace in that. And I must say, I was telling Brother Steve 2 weeks ago. I told him that I don't really talk about this because I don't want to take the make this about me, like this covenant with you and Sister Rachel and this Levite law about me, because truly it's not about me. I have nothing. I'm just here for. Yahweh just happened to put me in this position so he could see how much I love him. Truly, it's about Asher. And I want to be able to be a part of Asher's life so much that I'm not going to allow me to manifest in the way that it manifests before. And is it not still happening in different ways? I'm still growing in this. You know, there's a lot to be desired. But right now, I made up my mind that I'm not going to allow it. Nothing. When I say nothing, Sister Ashley, I mean nothing. Separate me from Yah, because that means that I'm not fit, and I want to hear well done. So I said that because when I go to deliverance, the thoughts I had in my mind to really help me cast down these imagination, these thoughts like, oh, they don't love you, but Steve will not love you anymore. All these things. It's like with Esther. Why does anybody will not love you? For real though? Like that's the thoughts. That's the thought you're having. Like I will have these thoughts. And I'm like, that has to be the devil, because there's no way that Brother Steve would not love me when he took me in, and here I am here in this way, and he loves me so much that he will take another wife for him to show how much he loves Yah. So I definitely had to find ways to battle these thoughts, but getting deliverance from them, I tell you, it's so much freeing, because your eyes are open. You're like, oh my gosh, this was my imagination the whole time. All these fears, like, you know, that when Brother Steve takes Sister Rachel, like, the seed that comes in, he was going to love the seed more. Like, all these thoughts. It's like, really, Esther? Want him to love the seed? Because the seed, that's his brother. And don't you love Brother Dominic? Of course you do. So then if you say you love him with your lips, why is it that you're not loving him with your action? And I want to go to something else, Sister Ashley, but I wanted to know if you could play that clip before I go into that.
Yes, ma'am. Let's go to the clip. Hallelujah. Here we are. It's about 3 minutes. Thanks for listening tonight. I'm Ashley. You're listening to Esther. It's her life we're prying into tonight. Here we go.
Agree with this program and do it from your heart to where there's no pain associated with any issue that you may be in conflict with the Most High Yah, and see just by the mere fact of you accepting the truth, if things don't start to turn around on you. Put it to the test. Start doing it. Give it about a month. Get into his word. Read his word, meditate on it, agree with it, regardless of what you say and you think. Don't try to manipulate, don't try to finagle, don't try to act like a lot of hypocritical people have done in the years past, where they say, I've met the conditions of deliverance, I did this and I did that, but yet you're still holding on to your will. And you wonder why healing and deliverance escapes you. It's going to continue to keep escaping you, because while you're deceiving men, and while you're deceiving those around you, and while you're deceiving the hearts of people, trying to make them think you're one way, but really, truly, in function in your heart, you're still the same in this way. You're holding in reserve your own personal opinion because of whatever pains, hurts, disappointment, or whatever it is. And you think you're deceiving the Father. Try submitting wholeheartedly. Try loving his program. I'm giving us something here. This is something that I'm getting ready to take off here again. But I'm giving us something here that I was actually going to speak about once I got back in the States. I'll give you something to get a head start on for you to meditate on. You search the deception of your own heart. You search how you act one way, but really, truly, in function and heart, you believe another. I don't hear this stuff, well, I just ain't there. You're never going to get there. Healing is the children's bread. If you really, truly want to be healed, you want a sound mind, you will agree. And you will embrace, and you will love truth, and then you'll watch healing be yours. You'll watch deliverance be yours. You don't have to worry about trying to play the hypocrite. You don't have to worry about trying to put on. You don't have to worry about any of that. It will just be yours because you're walking in truth and you're sanctifying, you're set apart because of that truth. Go out there and test. See what Pastor Dow says. Test it. Change your heart. Search your heart, change your heart, and see if what I am saying is so.
Hallelujah. I went a little bit longer because I enjoyed it. Sister Esther, back to you.
Okay, so this video really changed my life. And before it even, Pastor put that video out, I remember going to Mother and speaking to her. And after giving birth to Naomi, I was experiencing, that was the time that Sister Rachel had won the family. It was very hard for me to accept the truth. Whether or not I could say that I love the law, but there was ways in me that I did not accept it. And this video, when Pastor put everything together, it really embodies, like, okay, this is what I need to do to really be free. It was an answer prayer, because it showed me my heart And I could definitely testify to the healing power of renouncing, changing my mind, accepting Yah's prescribed way in my heart. Like, as Brother Steve is working on this law, me being in the other side, I want to do so much for his name not to be blotted out. Like, Brother Steve did so much. Like, the least I could do is just stand there and support him. Since that seed that came forth, Asher, is not his legacy, is not his name, I the more so want to be in a position where Yah will grant him seed to represent his name in Israel. And I wouldn't want my selfish ways, my lack of acceptance of this truth to hinder healing of my womb to even more so not allow him to have seed through me because I didn't accept Yah's way. It made me realize, made me really have self, like, I really take the time to self-analyze myself and really get rid of the secret rebellions. I think it's one of those things with people like me, like, I don't express my emotions. I'm not one to, like, oh, I love you or whatever. I'm not one of those sisters that do these things. However, because I don't really speak like that, people probably don't even know what I'm expressing, and I suppress a lot of things. And I think it's how I grew up. I grew up really hard. Like, I grew up with my father, who was a man, and watching him, I didn't have the example of being tendered, of, like, you know, how it had to be a woman. And I learned that masculinity was really a part of me. Like, I'm very strong. Like, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to have to feel pity for me. Like, it really elevates me to become this big person where I don't need to be. I don't have to be this way. And with Sister Rachel joining the family, she is a totally different than me. More tender, more feminine, more this. And it's like, Esther, this right here, this is how you're going to show, Yah is going to help you to be a better you. Yah is going to put the sister in front of you to help you to be better so you can learn from her. It's one thing for you to teach her, but she could teach you too. And the healing started happening when I started accepting all these aspects of my life. Like, you know what? Brother Steve is here. He's working out this law. Sister Rachel is there. She's your friend. She's there to help you. And it really helps me to start healing my heart because I was like, then, Father, I want to be in the, like, I had a video about Leah and Rachel. And he says Leah's womb was open. And I'm like, because they started bickering and start doing all these things. And I said, I don't want to be like that. I want to be able to bring forth seed for Brother Steve so his name is not blotted out. So he could, so people could know that this man did such a great thing in Israel and Yah blessed him. And he's going to be known in Israel. And I want to be a part of that. And for me to be a part of that, I know that all these secret things in my heart, I need to get rid of them. Because, I mean, I express them verbally, but they're there. I see them. I know them. Because when I'm thinking, I'm like, why are my thoughts so all over the place? They're all, like, on me. Like, really, it's really not on Yah. So changing the healing of my body was something that I know that I had to get to. Healing of my body, healing of my heart, I had to get right. Because if I am part of this way and I want to experience Yah the way that I want to experience him, I definitely need to, you know, die to that self. So the pastor put in that video about you just need to accept the prescribed will of Yah. I'm like, Esther, have you accepted? What is some way in you that I have not accepted? And, you know, things will just pop up. And I'm like, Father, forgive me for that. I will definitely, it will be like a lot of deliverance just in prayer. Like this right here, if I don't get this right, I will miss out in the kingdom because these things will go after me. And I don't want these things to go after me. I want these things to go before me so I could truly repent. And I allow myself to be vulnerable to Yahweh in this capacity so that when the healing comes, I could really receive it. So truly that's one of the things I wanted to highlight in this video, that pastor putting that video out, I found myself like really meditating it and saying that how can I be, how would I not allow this be one with me because of my own way that I rejected Yahweh. So hope I make sense, Sister Ashley.
that does make sense. It's amazing how many experiences and even years that you're even trying to fit into one show. So I got a song that you love. Can I play it and then you give me your heart about it?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We'll be right back with y'all. Thanks for listening in tonight. I'm with Sister Esther. Hallelujah. The first to shy of Steve Regis. Be right back.
Is there a reason to live? Is there a reason to give? It's the reason the Father gave his son. It's the reason the Savior gave his all.
Tell me why that song.
If we continue to listen to the song, it says, what can separate me from the love of Yah? And the song says nothing. And I, reading Romans 8:31-39, I really had to make this verse, like, I had to insert my name on it so I could really let it sink in with me. Our woman pastor says, write down your testimony so you don't forget it. And that was it. That was my testimony. I wrote this in 2016, if I could remember, or 2017. And I said to myself that, Esther, nothing will separate you from the love of Yah. No tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. But now I make it real with me. I said, nor Levite law, polygyny, offense, being an example, being the lead sister, living communally, will separate you from the love of Yah. You will not do that, Esther. You will allow yourself to be with Yah's people. And I say that because in walking this out, I could get sidetracked, like with, I'm here, but I'm just here so I don't get fined kind of thing, like Brother Steve will say. But in my heart, I never want to be the passive vile, like I'm here just because, no, I'm going to show how I love Yah. And I love how Yahweh does things because that I know for a fact, like, he will do things that I would never expect him to do. So Brother Steve, when we got married, we will call it. He used to call me his cheerleader, and I used to say, "Yep, I'm his cheerleader." Like we will, I'm always there to cheer Brother Steve on. And when I relating that verse to that is that a cheerleader don't get to pick what team they want to cheer for. You know, they just, you know, a cheerleader, that's their job. They just cheer on the team. And they also, even if the team is losing, they don't get to not cheer. That's their job, to cheer the team on. And I said to myself, if you're going to be a cheerleader, you will not separate yourself from this team. This team needs you to cheer them on. And I'm going to make sure that I set myself in a place where I could cheer this team on. And that is something that I choose to do. I choose to do that because this is what Yahweh called me to be. And I love the song because I could say that I love Yahweh. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. But in performance, if I don't do the thing that he says to do, which is, okay, Esther, you need to accept my way. You need to know that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, that I think higher than you, that whatever you think is not it. I have a plan for you to prosper you, to make you better. If you don't believe these things, truly you don't love Yah. If I don't accept his love, I could say I love Yah, but truly in my heart, I don't really love him if I don't accept his will for me in this life. And I want to be able to say that I love Yah because I support my husband. I love my sister. I consider her. And I think that's one of the things that Mother really allowed me to see, Mother Carol. She said, Esther, could you imagine if this was you in the situation that Sister Rachel and, like, Brother Steve was the one that passed away? Man, I fell out when she said that. I said, there's no way. I can't imagine that. Brother Steve, no, I can't. Well, imagine if it was you. How would you want to be treated? What would you want to do? And that really resonates with me. It's like, man, you love Yah, Esther? You're going to have to love the sister. You're going to have to love the way of Yah. And the way you're going to do it is not the way that you think. I'm going to make it. So you're going to have to prove yourself to me. And I love Yah so much that I'm not going to let anything separate me. And because of my love for Yah, I want to make sure that the children, Hadassah and Naomi, sees that, like, okay, mommy loves Yah, that she stands here and do this thing as they grow up. I don't want them to know that, oh, she was just this woman who just make it hard, or just like, you know, didn't accept the way of Yah. And no, we're building a new generation. So in that, in my mind, I made up my mind that I want to be a part of this. And to be a part of this is to really let this resonate with me, that loving Yah, meaning that there are things that I'm not, my ways is not going to be acceptable. So I'm going to love him by doing the things that he says to do, and that is to accept his ways. And I love this song because it really just tells me, talks about my testimony, that what would separate you from the love of Yah? If you say you love Yah, why would you allow offense separate you, Esther? Or would you allow polygyny to offend? Do you really love Yah? Nah, that's some cliche stuff that American people do. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like these, you know, the people that just, oh, I love you, but behind you, they're talking about you. I want to be the person that says, I love Yah. And also, look at my footprint. Like, this is it. So this is why the song resonates with me, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I want to read a quick email sent about tonight's show while you check into your notes, see what you want to go to next. This is, bless you, it's so wonderful to be here and listening. It's truly amazing to hear how Yah brings preparation in instances and according to his right ways and will. Listening to Sister Esther speak about the scriptures that Yah gave her the word in advance to prepare her for what to come. Yah's perfect plan, his perfect ways, his perfect laws. To us, a visible example for us to actually see lived out right before our eyes. I sit here with tears in my eyes, listening with humility, her transparency, the truth shared by our beloved Sister Esther. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you for these blog talks and sharing your life and the lives of all of these willing sisters. These broadcasts have encouraged and provoked me to strive to be clean in my mind, my body, and my spirit, and to show me that this life and this way is the only way that leads us into the kingdom of the Most High Yahweh. Thank you so much for your time, your sacrifice, and for sharing. And shalom. Thank you. Thank you for the email. Esther, back to your life. What you got? Share something.
Hallelujah. I wanted to talk about Asher because Asher comes out of the Levirate law. And I want to talk about the journey, him coming and then him being here and my relationship with him and how that of itself have impacted me. And I really want to talk about, like, just the honest truth, how it was. Can you hear me?
Yes, Esther, let me read this really quick back to Deuteronomy 25, 5 and 6 so you can go straight into it. At the sixth verse, it says, and it shall be that the firstborn that she bears, which in your instance is Asher, reintroducing him tonight, shall succeed in the name of his brother that is dead, which was Dodo, Dominic, and that his name be not blotted out in Israel, which is Dominic's name. Now, please talk to us about Asher. Go ahead.
Okay, so when Asher was coming, well, we didn't know Asher was going to be Asher, but Asher is here now. And I remember in my heart, I pray, I say, Father, I really want this law to be one with me. And I know that I struggle in certain ways. Like, I want Sister Rachel to experience pregnancy, to experience the whole aspect of being a mother. But part of me is like, you know, there's a part of me that hasn't accepted. And I had to be real with myself and go to the Father and say, why is that? Why is this part of me not accepting that aspect that, you know, I'm happy for her, but at the same time, I'm not. It's like, wait, Esther, this is double mind. You know, this is unstable. You need to get this stuff together. And I will talk to myself this way in prayer, like, get yourself together because this is unstable. And I remember when Sister Rachel had given birth and it was a boy, and I went my heart rejoicing, like, okay, yes, this is it, this is the law. And the first thought that came was like, the first thought that came was like, my gosh, it's a boy, like, this is going to be Dominic, like, how are you going to be, Esther? And I was like, how are you going to be? Like, why are you making this about you again? You see, like, the enemy will find anything, any thought to provoke me, to bring me back to, like, this is all about you. And I'm like, this son just, like, Rachel just gave birth to Asher, and I'm about to make this about myself. You, Esther, you got to be selfish, for real. So I'm over here like, no, I am not about to make this about myself. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to accept the fact that Asher is here, and we are going to love him. And it's interesting because when Asher came, there was no malice or nothing in my heart. And I said, Father, I really want to cultivate a true relationship with Asher, but I don't want it to be my way, because my way could be very official, and I wanted it to be real and genuine. And I remember talking to Rachel, and I said, Rachel, like, can you allow me to be a mother? Because I don't have, but it's even I don't have sons. We have daughters together. Can you allow me to be a mother to Asher? And she was like, yes, sis. Like, and this sister, expecting the sister Rachel, she's all about happy about life. She's like, yes, why not? This is great. She wants me, like, she loved the aspect of me being her sister. Anything that brings us closer is like, yes, Esther, let's do this. And I'm like, yes, okay. So I say these things. So now y'all are going to hold me accountable, because you say you're going to be a mother to the son. Now you got to perform, because mothers, they don't just, like, you know, whatever. They know they have a love, they nurture, they do all these things. And it took me back, because I was like, okay, how do you want me to be, Yahweh, for Asher? And I didn't want, like I said before, I didn't want it to be superficial. I wanted my relationship to be real with him. And I remember in prayer, I said, Father, I love Dodo, and I really do. And the way that I'm going to show that I love Dodo is how I accept this truth, and I accept Asher in my life, and how I care for him, how I, you know, nourish him and have a relationship with him. And as Sister Rachel said last week, I have a relationship with Asher that I built with him, that I didn't want to be superficial. I didn't want it to be like, I love him because I play with him because he's part of the family. Like, I wanted him to know that I love him as of Dodo. And really, like, this really is, like I said, this is really about Brother Dominic. And when I see Asher, I be like, wow, like, this is Dodo. This reminds me of Brother Dominic. This would be, Dodo would do that. Like, you know, and I'll talk to Rachel about that. And sometimes, like, I have to sit there and just like, man, this is how Yahweh is so beautiful, that he will bring, sun will come for us, and we will just see Dodo in the flesh again. And people, you, those of you that know Dominic, if you see Asher, you're like, wait, yes, similar mannerism. Brother Steve may share this mannerism, but this is not about Brother Steve right now. This is about Brother Dominic. So we're like, wait, this is reminding me of Brother Dominic. Like, I could see Dodo doing that. So my relationship with Asher, I really pray to Yahweh to give me a heart to really love him in a way that truly prove his love, so that I could prove my love to Brother Dominic in that fashion, that there's no hypocrisy in me, that I will correct him with no, like, he's not my son, you know, he's Sister Rachel, or he's not even Brother Steve's son, you know, like all these thoughts, because these thoughts were all real. They will come like, well, this is not Brother Steve's son, this is Brother Dominic, like, really. And I didn't want to put any of that upon him. Like, I treat him as he is my son, because he is. I talk to him, I correct him, and I appreciate the platform Sister Rachel allowed me to have with him, where I could have a relationship with him that I don't, what's the word? I don't need to fake it. Like, she knows if I'm busy, like, Asher, you understand. Mama Esther's not going to talk to you right now. It's okay. It's not personal. Like, he understands that. And I, at a very young age, he's very content. Like, he reminds me of Brother Dominic. Like, because Brother Dominic and I used to live together before he passed away. When the saints used to go to work, I used to be in the home with him. And Brother Dominic was sick. I remember him sitting in the couch. He would, he couldn't eat certain things. And I would be like, Dodo, you want some bread and eggs? He would like, you know, I can't have that, right, Esther? I'm like, nobody will know. You know, so it's like the same thing with Asher and I. Like, I'm like, Asher, you want some bread? Like, you know, I'll give it. He would come to the room. I'll give him some snacks. And I'm like, I can't even tell your mother that, because I know she'd probably be like, you can have these snacks. But just to say that the dynamic with me and Asher, it reminds me of how I used to be with Dodo. And I love the fact that I could see Dodo in the spirit now with Asher being here. I can't explain it, because you're not part of the family. You don't understand it. But really experiencing it, this is a gift. I appreciate how Asher came about, appreciate how the love we have for him, because I do love this boy. I can't explain it. And the children, Hadassah and Naomi, it's so funny how the children are so pure. They're like, she came to me today before the show. She said, Mommy, I love Asher. That's my brother. I said, yeah, that's your brother, sister. You do love him, you know. And trying to make sure that the children know that there's a cohesiveness, there's a oneness. Like, the Asher is not separated from this family, nor is the children separated from Asher. So I wanted to talk about how Asher coming about is such a gift, is such a light, and how we could see Dodo part here. Because I would say to Sister Rachel, man, if Dodo was here, and I'm like, wait, Dodo was here, Asher wouldn't be here. Esther, is that not really right to even to say? But sometimes I would say that if Dodo was here, how would life be? How would he be with the children? But then I would experience Asher. So Yahweh does all things well, and I appreciate how he did it, because if it was up to me, it would not be like that. So that's all I have for now, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Asher, praise Yah. I've had a chance to hold him and talk to him. Look forward to watching him grow and getting to know Dominic through him. Bless the Most High Yah for the restoration of his law. So look down at your notes, flip around, see what you got, see what you want to share. Already it is intriguing. You know, others are hearing your strength. And I think the vulnerability and selflessness is really, really important. I personally believe that we serve the God of the lowly and the God of the selfless and the God of the Hebrews, who really, really bends and bows his ear to those who are meek and those who are willing to humble themselves. So I appreciate your words. What else you got?
Okay, so I wanted to talk about the law being an obligation, and how this was also a test for me, and how if I could go in with Sister Rachel coming in, I always thought, like, okay, would she accept Brother Steve
you know, as her husband, would she love him? And if anybody knows, like, Brother Steve and I coming together, I always was there to support him. And I didn't want somebody to come in and feel like, okay, they didn't, there was just, it's an obligation, I'm just there, and I don't want to support this man. And that was a thought for me. And I remember talking to Saritra about that, because the true test was like, okay, now that the test before was, okay, how would she be when Asher come about? Will things change? So when Asher came, really, I was watching to see, okay, Father, how would my sister be in this family after the seed comes? Would she be willing? Would she be helping? Would she be this? Like all these things that I had, expectation I had of her. And the truth test came when after Asher was born to see, you know, how would she be towards the family. And I had fears. I had fears that, like, okay, things are going to change. Like, okay, like she, my sister got what she needed, this and that and the third. And I remember going to prayer and say, Father, I don't want this to be a thing where Brother Steve feeling all these, experiencing these rejections towards myself and towards Sister Rachel because of how we are together. And I say that because the law, because we could, so we should talk about it last week, like how she hated the word obligation. And I, too, I hated that word. I'm like, wait, obligation means you have to do this thing and get it over with. And I think that's the carnal mind. That's how you think. And when she said it last week, I was like, man, no, y'all planned this out so that she could be in covenant and be covered. But when she came to the family after Asher, it was just like this sister had such a heart. She wanted to, you know, help out and be even more so be a servant. And I really think it has to, the whole pregnancy process has to take that to help her to get to that. And I said, man, okay, Father, now this is, if I, my sister is doing this, why am I still in the same state that I'm in? Like, it was a lot of control because I knew Stephen, Brother Steve, before. It's like, you cannot come in here and tell me how you want to be, how you want me to be. Like, you don't have much to tell me. And this is just the honest truth for me in the time. Like, I didn't want to learn from you. I didn't want to have anything. You didn't have anything else to say to me. And it was very prideful. Like, I couldn't even allow myself to, pay your echo, sister, actually.
A little bit here and there, it comes and goes, but I can still keep up and hear you clearly.
Yes, ma'am. So there was a lot of control, like, but the city is mine, and, you know, I don't want to share him with anybody. You can't tell me any things you want to tell me. You can't tell me anything about him that I don't already know, all these things. And when my sister just wanted to be a part of the family, and I realized after Asher came, things started shifting. There was more of a, you know, as we're growing into this, and I knew that I had to step away. I had to really put my guards down, like, Esther, just allow yourself to be vulnerable to the sister who actually putting herself where she wants to learn. And I say that because the law will make the wording would have your mind shift, like, okay, this person is going to do this, and then after this, they're satisfied, they're gone. And if I already had that thought, anything that she did was like, well, you're doing this because of that, you're doing this because of that. And a lot of accusation, a lot of, well, this is what she's doing, this is the reasoning. And when I really took a look upon myself and said, man, Esther, you're just trying to control the situation, for real, you are. And you don't need to do all of that. Like, it's not that serious. You need to get it together. And when I really took time to examine myself, and really say, man, I'm going to allow the sister to be a part of this family and do what she needs to do and step back. And you also have to voice everything that I'm experiencing. And I think that actually gives me so much, gives us much freedom, because you allow her to be who she needed to be in this family. And as we're going into this, we're only 2 years old in this polygynous family dynamic. So being 2 years old, we don't really have a lot to say. We're just living life and experiencing it. But I could say within the 2 years we've been together and this family, we have learned so much in growing that this obligation is obligating us to love one another, even more so to love Yahweh. And Yahweh does all things well, and I appreciate how he would design this situation to make me to abase myself, because it is a very like a prideful spirit about me, where it's like, well, Esther, like, I don't think I need to learn anything from you, Abba Stephen, because I know him longer. You just got here, like, really. That these are the thoughts, and at the same time, I had to really, okay, Esther, if you was you in this situation, how would you want to be treated? Like, that really shook my spirit, because I'm like, man, I wouldn't want to be like that. I wouldn't want anybody to be like that to me. And it always goes back to me to that verse about Philippians 2, where it says, consider others as yourself, and let nothing be done through strife, you know, loneliness in mind. Think others better than yourself. Look not at every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I was like, man, if I want Yahweh's mind, this Yahweh's mind is beautiful. How do I have all these discord in my mind, all this strife and all these things? Like, I am not performing the way that I should. So I definitely took heed to that and said, man, I'm going to allow my sister to be a part of this family regardless of what I feel, because I have a lot of feelings. I mean, I'm a woman. I have a lot of feelings. I have a lot of emotions. That doesn't mean that doesn't make them right. And because I realize these things about myself, I'm very real with myself when I see these things. I mean, Esther, you are just Jack in this area, and you need to get it together. And I'll speak to myself this way to keep me sober, that I will not let these things separate me from the love of Yah, because it, quick in a hurry, if I let this offense stay longer, if it musters, it becomes like a big tree, you know, and I can't control it. So I will not let that happen. So I wanted to talk about how this obligation that, you know, that word itself, Rachel expressed very beautifully last week, really put me in position where to accept Yahweh's way and to allow Sister Rachel to just be a part of the family without the thought that she's only coming in to do whatever, to know that Yahweh's plan is so beautiful that why would she allow this sister to come in and just do her will and his will? It doesn't make sense. The equation doesn't add up. So I'm happy that this is how it's orchestrating in our lives. And I always tell Sister Rachel, man, I'm happy that Brother Dominic married you, because you love Yah so much that you will be a part of this law. Because if it was the other way around, I had to question myself, like, would I really do that? You know, this is a reality. I mean, this sister loves Yah so much that she will marry her husband's brother to bring seed for her husband. This is beautiful. And I have to keep saying that to myself, because it was not one with me. This is beautiful. I said, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Because truly, your mind will tell you, oh, this is weird. This is it. Like, this is it. And I have to keep saying that to myself, because if I don't, Pastor said it last week, if you keep saying the word is so real, it becomes one with you. I say it so many times. Asher is beautiful. This thing is beautiful. This is it. I'm going to love Asher. I'm going to love this law. Father, this part of me that I hate it, but I'm going to love it because I love you. So I say these things every day to keep me sober so that I don't get off the cliff. Because, you know, the cliff is when the devil comes and then, like, with the thought, oh, I go in the deep end. And as a woman, I could go in so deep. It takes me too much time to get back. And I don't want to go that far in, because then I give too much place to the devil. So I'm allowing myself to take the time to really reflect on me and doing this process, this journey, to see where I could grow. And like Esther, this is there to make you better, to make you more humble, to make you more feminine, to make you more soft. The way she is towards the Hadassah and Naomi is so perfect. Because me, I am very hard with Naomi and Hadassah. But Asher benefits from that, because me and Asher, we have a different dynamic. It's like, man, y'all, you do things so well. Like, this is it. We needed each other to be in this family together. But it's been played such a big role in this. And I don't want to make this about me and Rachel and Brother Steve. But at the end of the day, like, this is our life. We're just living it. We don't really have much to say. You know, I hope I'm making sense, Sister Ashley.
You really are, Sister Esther. You really are. And I wanna say, you know, from Deacon's home to yours, many peace and blessings, mercy and kindness, you know. Brother Steve has always honored Deacon, and Deacon speaks really highly of him. Appreciate you guys always honoring us and just being a support to the ministry and everyone around you. I want to wrap up tonight's show, and I want to give you the last words. And I'm sure, just like Rachel and I talked after the show, there's many more things that she could have said. So you might walk away thinking that you could have said so much more, and it's the truth because it is your life. But no, I told her for many, many years early on in Blog Talk, it was that way for me, thinking I needed to say something. But when y'all is just reaching and touching someone else with your testimony, everything you say the first time around is sufficient. So let's wrap it up. Let's put your last thoughts and the things you want to share out there for everyone to listen. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me go through my notes one more time to make sure that I have all my thoughts together. I wanted to talk about Brother Steve. How him in this way, and him coming this way, and him accepting me to be a part of this family, and how had this been a healing to my soul. And I really wanted to also capitalize on how this walk has allowed me to, being part of this family, have allowed me to be myself and to be just a better sister, a better friend, a better mother. If I could go to Brother Steve, I remember in the beginning, the dynamic with Brother Steve and I is that we were close, we were good friends, we do a lot of things together. And one of my greatest fear is that we wouldn't have this dynamic anymore. And because I didn't want my dynamic with him to be different than his dynamic with Sister Rachel. And I didn't want to, I reserved myself from giving my all to Brother Steve because of, I didn't want to offend my sister. I didn't want to do anything that's going to, what's the word, like, that she has not yet to do or what's not. I don't know how to express the word, but because of that, I realized that I would hold a lot of things and showing a lot of gratitude towards Brother Steve. And I wanted to say that to him, that was one time Pastor said, he made a comment, and he says to write down a list of things that you are thankful for your husband. And I remember writing these things down, and I went back to my notes today, and I saw that. I was like, wow, like maybe that y'all was trying to tell me that I need to share this. And I had like six of them. And one of them, they were, if I could go, it was like, I'm very thankful for you, Steven, for your determination and devotion to this way. And also for giving me an ultimatum in 2015 and said, if you don't go this way, we can't be together. That was the best decision you could have ever made for my life. I thank you that you have not wavered in this way. Thank you for your obedience to follow the men of Yah. I'm thankful for you for caring for my soul, a dedicated time to pour into me, Bible study, and all these things. I'm thankful for your diligence to work. Thankful that you decide to give me an ultimatum and vote it with your feet. I said that before, but that was, I wrote this twice in the thankful list. I say that because of you, we could be part of this. I could have that experience to see myself, to see how much I really don't love, how much I have much hate in me, how much I could be selfish, because this, you playing, you taking on Sister Rachel provoke all these things in me that I never thought was there. I thought I was this perfect sister, like, you know, nothing fazed me. But lo and behold, a lot of these things do. And I had to really find the maturity in that. And you being flat-footed really helped me to just not be waver. And I'm thankful for you being an example, this event, because it helps me to stay connected, to know that I ain't going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. This is it. We are in this together. And I appreciate your love for Yah's people and for Yah's law. Because I know this also, you have a story. If we were to flip this around, we can hear your story. I would love to hear your story also, because I know how this had impacted you also. But at the same time, I know that this makes you go closer to the Father. I see how you have grown maturely, how you have grown and just closer to Yahweh, because, man, this is a weighty matter. And I'm thankful that you will even have the strength to take this upon yourself. Your dedication to be a father. I see how you are with Asher. Just your love for Asher shows me how much you love Dodo, because you will correct him. You will make sure that he gets it right. And that of itself, it speaks well value, because you could have done the way in the book in Deuteronomy 25, or you could have been like Judah. Like his sons, you could have been like that, but you choose not to be this way. And I'm thankful that you were not this way. It makes being part of this family like, wow, like Brother Steve, man, he loves ya, you know? So I'm thankful that you did that. And also I'm thankful for Sister Rachel. I don't think I've said this to her in person, but I probably have, but she has shown me so much seeing how she is with the children, how she's grown as a mother, as a sister. And one thing I would say, Sister Ashley, that came to my spirit that I wanted to say, one of the things that really, in the beginning, that really offended me and before was that, I think when the Steve came and she said, hey, we're going to call Sister Rachel Mama Rach. And I was like, wait, what? Why are we calling her Mama Rachel? She just got here. Like, there was a thought in my mind. Like, this is true. This is real. I was like, no, there was a disagreement in my heart. Like, I'm not doing that. And I didn't say it, but my heart says it. And I remember going to the Father in prayer, and I said, Father, why am I kicking about the children calling your Mama Rich? Why does it matter? And it was so, and really when I went to prayer, I said, Father says, you have to call her Mama Rich. You have to tell the children to call her Mama Rich so you could be one with you. And I said, Father, this is hard. So this is me and Hadassah and Naomi sitting down. I said, okay, so now, from now on, we're going to call Sister Rachel, Mama Rachel, Auntie Rachel, Mama Rachel. And whenever it happens, I could see the kick. I could see the kick in the beginning. It was like, oh, man, I don't want to do that. I don't think she deserves it because of my own thinking. And the more that I realize, the more I do what Yahweh tells me to do, I can't go wrong. So it becomes one with me now. Hey, children. Like, when Adasa is saying, Rach, Sister Rachel, I'm like, hey, what's her name? Mama Rach. And I could say that because that's one thing I had to overcome. Like, she probably don't know. She probably did know. But she probably know this more than anybody. But inside of me, there was just a kick because I was like, man, like, I don't want to do that. And the thing that I don't want to do is the thing I have to do for my soul. And I appreciate how Brother Steve will actually provoke these things out of me just so I could get it right. And I'm thankful for that, babe. I really am. I'm thankful that you will just do these things just to make me get it right. So I'm determined to make it to the kingdom. I'm determined to not be waver. I'm thankful to be a part of this family. And, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm very appreciative of Sister Rachel being part of this family, because even the more so, it's showing me how, you know, when her and I, we could work together very well, because she understands my language, I understand her, we understand each other. It's like, okay, let's make this happen. And it's just wonderful, because at the end of it, we all here for one purpose, and that is to make it to the kingdom. And I know my sister's going to make it to the kingdom because she's striving as I am. So I wanted to say that, these things really have helped me to be a better person. I'm still growing. I mean, I am growing. So I am in the process. So in that, I'm loving every aspect of being a woman. There are things that I thought I was a woman all my life until I came to this ministry. I'm like, oh, Esther, you are far from that. So it really teaches me how to be humble, how to be a better person. So if I could say one last thing, that is that I'm not going to allow the Levirate law to separate me from the love of Yah. And I put it with my feet. This is it. This is it. I ain't going nowhere.
Esther, thank you. How did you feel when you knew that you were going to come on the show and share your life?
The truth? I was like, okay, so if I was going to go with Sister Rachel, you have a lot to say. I said she could go first and speak her mind, and then I could have my 15 minutes of fame to speak and say what I need to say, and that would be it. So that was my thoughts. Like, yes, you could have her. I could have my 15 minutes. I don't have to say a lot of things. Then, as you said, no, Esther, you are going to have your own chance. Like, wait, me? I don't have much to say. So, yes, I didn't thought I had nothing to say. I literally, all these things that I just said right now, I'm probably going to go back and listen to myself and say, how did I get up? How did I get here? Because I didn't have these things written down. So I'm thankful. So, yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. You represent Brother Steve very well. You're trying to, I keep saying, for Deacon's house, too, because you know what you've personally done for him and us. Thank you. And we got three more shows before the Passover. If anyone doesn't know, it's Sister Esther and her sisters in that communal home that actually tear all the paper towels and stack them up for our massive deliverance nights. So thank you for that labor. Your snack nights, thank you. Your offerings, thank you. Coming every other week, and the list goes on. I want to say goodnight to you. I want to say thank you for coming on the show. I want to play a song. I want to tell everyone a couple of announcements, but I'm going to let you go first. Sister Esther, thank you again for joining in tonight. Thank you for calling, being on time, speaking with fear, and wanting everyone to be edified. I think that intention was made known tonight. Bless you for your vulnerability.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Shalom.
Shalom. All right. Thank you, Sakina. All right, just real quick. There's some small businesses like Household Herbs. If any of you want to announce something, you got three more weeks, I'd like to say it. If you're bringing any products to the feast and you want anybody to know about it, please send me an email. I'll read your email exactly like you type it. You know I love Tamika's deodorant, and there's other companies that sell great things. We are not doing Marketplace. That's only at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're not doing a clothing swap. That is only at the Feast of Tabernacles. Also, April the 5th until April the 11th, all those breakfasts are down the hill, granola down the hill, April the 5th through 11th. All dinners, all feast long are up the hill. But I just wanted to announce that. So the to-go situation is much different. If you're up the hill in a tent and you need some granola, we don't have any to-go containers. We don't have any other options that we're offering. It's dine-in only. You would really have to find a way, you know, throw it in a cup if you need to, but nothing large on the takeout. Bring praise to the food line this year, please. Bring your Thanksgiving to the food line. Bring your appreciation to the food line. Want to shout out to Sister Gabby, who's been on my heart. Bless you to Pastor Corey for his labor of love. Three more shows, that's it. Hallelujah. Let's play a song and stay tuned for tomorrow, prep day, and blog talks. Shabbat is coming. I bless the name of the Most High for everyone who serves him and calls on his name.
Hey, hallelujah. Hey, 10 verses, man. 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5
Thank you.